You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we have with us as our guest in the studio, our good friend Mike Morgan from Mid-Michigan Kennels. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's always our pleasure to have you in. Mike, we wanted to continue our conversation and talking about the training of dogs for specific functions, whether it's hunting or, in your case, you're training them for police functions or bomb sniffing. How do you go about doing that type of training? How do you pick the dogs and how do you go about teaching them how to do these different functions?
Well, having sat in on the talk with Justin from Pine Hill Kennels, it's exactly the same, except we're looking for a little bit of a different set in the dog. Each dog has what's been bred into it, and each dog has what you can teach it, and not necessarily do the two go together. When we're out looking for a dog that's going to specifically do detection work, whether it be narcotics or a cadaver or explosives, we're looking for a dog that has a good hunt drive, wants to go seek out what we want to teach it to find. And then we're also looking for a dog that has a specific reward. And specifically, I like working with either a tennis ball or a Kong type toy. So I've heard you talk many times about your Australian Shepherds with their crazy ball drive. If they come up missing in your backyard, you'll know where to come find them. But we're looking for a dog with that kind of crazy ball or toy possessiveness. And then if we can teach the dog that if you want this, and you smell this, find this and smell this and show us it's there, we'll give it to you. That's usually a pretty good recipe for success with the detection dogs.
What kind of a length of process is this? Is this something like it's a 2-month process to ascertain this information? Is it a 5-minute event? But, you know, so you meet these dogs in this, well, off in another land, actually, over in Europe. And then how long does it take before you actually figure out that this is the dog?
From the time that I deal with a lot of breeders in Poland and the Czech Republic, and from the time they walk in the door with a young adult, and again, I buy young adult dogs. I don't buy puppies. Puppies are kind of a crapshoot for me, and I don't have the time to go through the raising and the socializing. Hopefully, that's already been done by our breeder. But from the time they walk through the door with a dog, if I'm looking for a dog that's just going to do detection work, within about 5 to 10 minutes of just a couple of simple observations and things that I do, can get a pretty good feel for whether this dog is a dog that I'm going to want to take and put into this type of employment. If it's a dog that's also got to go on then to do the patrol aspects of police work, which is the biting and the apprehension and handler protection, protecting the policeman from anybody who's trying to assault them, that takes a little more time to go out and actually test those skills out on the field.
No, we kind of talk about training people as well as dogs. You've been doing this for several years. How have you learned over the years? What's your percentage when you first started this as far as picking out dogs and being able to, you know, get one that does exactly what you want? And how are you today? Has it improved over time? Have you had to been trained to do things better?
I sure hope so. I hope I'm getting better at this every month that goes by. I mean, that's the one thing that I hope most dog trainers aspire to, and that's to continue their skill, get better at their craft, and not get stagnated into I already know what I need to know, and this is what I'm going to do. Yeah, I think it's gotten easier over the years. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of online schools you can go to that will certify you as a dog trainer and whatnot. And I always tell people, dog training isn't the books and it isn't the videos. That's part of it. But I think the more dogs you put your hands on, the better you get at your craft.
Interesting. Mike, when we were talking with Justin about training dogs for hunting, one of the issues that Rick brought up was being gun shy and training dogs to work for police functions. Again, the issue of guns and sirens becomes an important thing that they can't be afraid of. Is hunting with a dog actually a good beginning for police work, or is it contrary to it? So if a dog's gone hunting in the past, can they be trained to do canine type work, or is that really a negative?
I think the common thread here is how you introduce the gunfire. And listening to what Justin was saying, that dogs aren't born afraid of anything. We either teach it or we've exposed them to something where they've had a negative experience with it, and therefore the fear comes from that. So I think there's a common thread there with both the dogs that I want to have out on the road for police dogs and the dogs that Justin's looking forward to have out in the field, not to have that loud noise be something that's a negative. So I think there's a common thread there, but I don't know that taking a dog out and actually hunting it is going to be the right course of action. I do try to discourage the officers from taking their dog to the range on qualification day. I think that's a lot of stress for the dog to be in the car. No dad's out there and hear multiple gunshots going on for a half an hour, and there's no release valve for that dog to let that stressor vent off anything that's loaded up from all that gunfire that it's been hearing.
Very, very interesting.
So I try to leave it at the department in a crate, leave it at home, go do your qualification, go back and get the dog so we don't create an issue.
One thing we were chatting a little bit before the show, and I found rather surprising. We watch the dog shows, and with the dog shows, you might see a German Shepherd and might take best of show or at least best of his breed. Is that dog specifically going to make a good guard dog, or are there certain characteristics you're looking for? Well, when you walk in there, is there anything visual when you see that dog that appeals to you?
I try to avoid aesthetics to a certain extent. I mean, I had a gal send me an email with a photo attached of a really beautiful German Shepherd that had been hit by a car at a very young age, and there was no long-term injury or anything to the dog, but it had such a bad part of road rash down one side that the hair no longer grows, about a 2-inch wide strip down to about 6 inches long. And unfortunately, even with the dog's high ball drive and hunt drive, aesthetically, it's going to be real hard to get a police department to want to buy that dog. Everybody likes a pretty dog.
Okay.
And as unfair as that may be, we did actually find that dog a great pet home. But aesthetically, you want a decent looking dog, a nice looking dog. But in my mind, I think there's a difference between show dogs and working dogs. There's seemed to have been a fork in the road taken in the breeding. Some people are breeding for the looks and certain physical characteristics, and then there are people who are still breeding, having parents that have that strong drive because, like I heard Justin say earlier, that's where it all comes from. It starts with the parents.
So some of that drive, if I was in a show, could that be actually an interference? Is that possible that just in the breeding of that breed for show, it's just a natural gene selection away from some of that drive instinct, or is that really helpful characteristics for in the show? Do you have any idea on that?
I don't. It's going to come back to the parents. How much did they breed out of the working lines into the showing lines, and how much of the show lines got put back into the working lines? I mean, I've purchased some dogs in Germany that were primarily out of a show line type shepherd breeding line, but they've had really good work ethic. It's like people. Every dog's going to be different, and you can't apply one rule to every dog, but there is the odds. I mean, and I'm looking at dogs that have good working titles, Schützen or KNPV or some of the other competitive titles coming out of Europe.
Interesting. We're speaking this morning with Mike Morgan from Mid-Michigan Kennels. Mike, if you had to go through and teach dog owners something that they would need to know in order to be a better dog owner, you've talked in the past about what's really important is the owner more than the dog when it comes to training. What is it that people can work on a regular basis to be a better dog owner, to keep the obedience when they're working with their dog so that they aren't causing trouble and creating a bad name as some of the breeds actually are doing right now?
I joke about the fact that if I were just training dogs, I'd probably do it for free, but the owner is why I charge the money. I guess the biggest thing is people don't understand that dogs are pack animals and they need a leader. They don't need a feeder. They need somebody that's going to take charge of the dog and be a good, stable, consistent leader. It's not about being angry guy, but it is about being firm and in charge and being consistent. And you've heard me talk over and over again about socializing from a young pup up. And during that socialization process, being the leader, being the one who's the boss.
Well, and the one thing I would say that I've heard you talk about a lot, too, is that you can work with a dog and get him to a certain point, but when the owner all of a sudden shows up, does the consistency of what you're doing with the dog transfer over to the owner with the dog? Do they keep doing the same things? And what do they do if the dog just says, hey, I've gotten away with murder with you, so I'm going to keep doing the what I want to instead of what I'm being trained to do by the trainer?
Well, one of the programs we offer out at Mid-Michigan Kennels is a two-weekend kennel obedience program. That's where you bring the dog, drop it off for 2 weeks, and we do the work, the basic obedience. It's on-leash obedience. Sit down, heel stay, don't jump on the company, coming and going through doorways politely without dragging owners through doors. And we have a great success with that program, but the success comes from not so much the 2 weeks that I spend with the dog, but the multiple sessions with the owner where they come in on the middle weekend, the end weekend, and then we make them come back every 2 weeks for about 2 months to make sure they're keeping up with the training and doing things the way we taught them. But that is the challenge, just transitioning that dog from being at my side to the owner's side. But we do a pretty good job with it, but that's because we mandate that you're going to come back for the better part of the next 2 or 3 months after that 2 weeks is concluded.
Well, I hope that many of our listeners will take you up on something like that, because it's critical that we do a better job with these animals if we want them to be the pets that we want them to be. How we train them and how we maintain it is critical. Thanks so much for coming in, Mike. It's always great to see you.
It's always great to be here. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. We've been talking this morning with Mike Morgan, the owner of Mid-Michigan Kennels out in Eaton Rapids. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to have a conversation with a rescue group, Pointers from Oz, which is a Williamston operation, and they've got some beautiful English pointers out there right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Visit us online at 1320WILS.com or friend Mid-Michigan Pets on Facebook or join our fan page. Tell us about your pets, ask some questions, or just post some of your favorite pet pictures.